Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, January 19th. Coming up on today's show, a conversation with Dorchester's Bill Steele, a transplant from Toronto and heritage building enthusiast. Steele bought the Dorchester Jail in 2017 and now operates it as an Airbnb. He recently took a tour of the Woodblock Building on Bridge Street in Sackville, home to local restaurants, apartments, and the old Imperial Theater. And as we anxiously await for news of a sale of that building, we check in with Bill to hear his thoughts on heritage properties in the Tantramar region. But first, more local news and information. 14 people in the Mount Allison community have self-reported active cases of COVID-19 as of Tuesday morning. In an update published online, the university says that 4 of the cases are on campus and 10 are off campus, and that all cases are managing symptoms at home. The university is asking anyone in the community who tests positive to report their result to the school's vaccination and testing verification clerk, in addition to reporting it online to the government of New Brunswick. Since January 3rd, 38 cases have been self-reported to Mount Allison. The school says it will provide a weekly campus and community COVID-19 update every Tuesday. Self-reported COVID-19 cases in the province jumped by over 1,600 yesterday, based on results of rapid testing voluntarily submitted by New Brunswickers. There were 330 new cases reported through PCR testing. 3 more people died with COVID-19 in the province, and the number of people in hospital remained at 113, with 15 people under intensive care. Public Health is planning 3 vaccination clinics in Sackville for February, Saturday, February 5th, Monday, February 7th, and Thursday, February 24th are slated for full-day clinics at the Sackville Visitor Information Center on Mallard Drive. The town of Sackville released the dates on Tuesday, but as of Wednesday morning, the clinics have not yet appeared as options in the province's vaccination booking system, which is available at gnb.ca/book-a-vaccine. Both the Jean Coutu and Corner Drugstore pharmacies in downtown Sackville do have appointments available with registration through their websites. Sackville's next clinic is at the Visitor Information Center on Monday, January 24th, and the province's website says that people 12 years and older who are looking for a first or second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine will be able to walk in for an appointment. 2 Sackville organizations are keeping the situation at the Sackville Hospital top of mind and issued statements this week. David Gordon Koch has more.
The co-chairs of Community Task Force on Rural Healthcare say they're optimistic services at the Sackville Memorial Hospital will be restored. Meanwhile, the Mount Allison Faculty Association is throwing its support behind the movement to restore hospital services. Former Sackville Mayor John Hyam is one of the co-chairs of the Memram Cook Tantramar Rural Health Action Group. In a statement, Hyam said the group felt encouraged by year-end meetings with Horizon Health Network. Officials from the Regional Health Authority have given us hope that the cutbacks against which we protested last year will indeed be temporary, Hyam was quoted as saying. The emergency department at Sackville Memorial is currently open between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. 7 days a week following service reductions, but Horizon officials say they're committed to restoring 24/7 emergency care, according to the statement from the Rural Health Action Group. Officials from the health authority have also indicated they intend to return to a full complement of acute care beds, along with further investments in additional services, according to the statement. It said the health authority has also agreed to work with the local action group on marketing efforts meant to retain and recruit doctors, nurses, and other staff in the region. In December, Horizon announced the acute care unit at Sackville Memorial would close, and those beds would be used for people awaiting long-term care. Former Mayor Pat Esterbrooks, also co-chair of the action group, acknowledged the COVID-19 pandemic has placed additional pressure on healthcare resources. However, she said the needs of Sackville remain urgent and we will continue to push Horizon and the Department of Health to act as quickly as possible. CHMA previously reported that Horizon has hired a former nurse and hospital administrator to work on retention and recruitment of nurses at the hospital. Also this week, the union representing faculty and librarians at Mount Allison University issued a statement calling on the provincial government to preserve and enhance the role of Sackville Memorial Hospital. The Mount Allison Faculty Association, or MAFA, cited high-quality local health care as an essential factor in attracting and retaining university employees such as faculty and librarians, including after they retire. According to the union, service cuts at the hospital have often been based on what it called the flawed belief that moving medical services to Moncton and other centers is the only way to offer these services. The union noted that not everyone can travel to Amherst or Moncton for healthcare services, and patients often face long wait times at those locations. Those trips can also be hazardous in their own right during the winter months, the statement added.
The province of New Brunswick is calling for help. In a release on Tuesday afternoon, Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd issued an urgent call for volunteers to take on clinical and non-clinical work in either paid or unpaid capacities. Clinical work includes administering vaccinations and COVID-19 testing, patient services, and personal support work. Non-clinical work includes clerical support, office administration, logistical support, data entry, customer service, and food preparation and delivery. The province says it will provide training and protective equipment where necessary. Both paid and volunteer positions are available, though there's no details on specific positions to be filled. Rather, people can offer their services by filling out a form at gnb.ca. The form asks simply for availability, location, and whether volunteering for clinical or non-clinical services. The province says each volunteer will be contacted, but priority will be given to people who can fill areas of highest need. Volunteers have already been utilized in the pandemic response, with many of the large-scale vaccination clinics in the spring at the Tantramar Civic Center at least partially staffed by volunteers. The province did not say how many volunteers are currently participating in various aspects of the pandemic response or how many it needs to fill the gaps in services and initiatives. The Mount Allison Alumni Office shared the request from the province on Monday with its New Brunswick-based alumni, and a number of professional associations have already been spreading the word about the call for help. Last week, Premier Higgs drew attention to the province's Critical Care Nurse Deployment Initiative, a program specifically targeting recruitment of nurses with critical care experience to work in New Brunswick hospitals. The initiative is offering financial incentives for nurses who register, such as $1,000 as a sign-up bonus and up to $1,000 per week in wage premiums. Last but not least on today's Tantramar Report, as we wait for news of a possible sale of the Woodblock building in downtown Sackville, I decided to call up heritage building enthusiast Bill Steele to ask about his recent tour of the century-old building. Bill Steele, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So I've got you on the phone today to ask about your experience walking through the upper floors of the Woodblock on Bridge Street in Sackville. But first, it's worth mentioning that you are no stranger to historic heritage buildings yourself. Can you tell us about your experience in heritage?
Yeah, I live in the old Dorchester Jail that was formerly the Provincial Jail. And it goes back, it was built in 1875, and it's a huge, giant building that we've utilized and repurposed into a successful Airbnb. And we do tours, and we've restored the building a little bit and brought it back. We have a lot of interesting things inside of it. And I post on Facebook all the time. I just love my building. I even did a walk around last night. I love this big old building. I just and people that come by to visit, they're very interested. And there's a lot of interest in these big old buildings. And I'm proud to have saved a couple of them, actually.
What is it about heritage buildings that there are strong efforts to hold on to them sometimes, and what is it about like having heritage structures in your community that's so important, do you think?
Everybody recalls the good old days, and that's when it's nice to look back and to preserve those things, to recreate those. You couldn't recreate them. The architecture, the replacement cost of these things is incredible. You know, my building here, it would be like $20 million to rebuild this if you said, hey, I want to put a jail there. And the history behind them to preserve that and to repurpose it. And most importantly, is to have them utilized. Don't let them sit empty. Get somebody in there, move it along that's going to develop it, do something with it, anything. We found that the Chandler House here in Dorchester, somebody Bought that from Ontario, and they're loving it. There was a Christmas tree in the window, first time in who knows how long.
Oh, that's a recent sale that just happened. So it had a person who bought it who I think, you know, had it for many years but wasn't living there. Is that the idea? And then
that's
now
correct.
Recently, so now the people that bought it actually are living there?
They moved in, absolutely. They moved in, and that's a founding father of Canada's house. It's one of the most historical places in the village, 100%. And it has like 8 acres and a slate roof. And after they bought it, they moved in. I walked over, introduced myself to them and talked about it. And they have the passion. They're from Ontario, same as myself. And they said, oh, my God, can you believe what I bought? I said, I know. Can you believe that? And it was like $300,000+. And I'm going, you couldn't, the roof, I know that the slate roof for that house cost the previous owner $300,000. So the guy bought the roof and like $15,000 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And has such a historical, and they're living in it. It's incredible.
Now, speaking of, you know, buildings in use or not, we've got the wood block here in Sackville, which is a historic building. Now, it is, parts of it are in use, but the second story, which is home to a theater, is no longer
used. Yeah, I had heard about that. I looked at the building and I said, oh my gosh, look at that big building. And I just loved it, how it was utilized in that. And somebody said, hey, there's a theater upstairs. I said, well, so I went home and went on the internet. I couldn't find any photos of it. Not even any old stuff. And I go, wow, that must be incredible. And a few people described it to me. And anyway, long story short, me and another friend on Facebook, we like looking at just like houses that are abandoned or not being utilized or something like that. And we tracked down the owner and we said, hey, can you show us? And he said, sure. And I went, oh, my God, that's great. And, yeah, so he went through the whole thing, and I took all kinds of photos, asked permission if I could post it. And he told me all about the building and the history behind it and what was in that building, who previously owned it.
So now you did tour the theater. What, like, give us a little description of what it looks like. What is that theater?
Wow, it's much larger than I ever dreamed it would be. It's interesting that it's in good shape. You know, there's some issues where some old leaks were there, but the roof was patched. And the stage is unbelievable. It's like it goes, that's what that little box is up on top of the building that comes up. That's so they could like move the curtains and the backdrops up and down. And you can see it on those photos that I have. But it's a giant, giant space, and it's like walkways up there and stuff. And, you know, I stood up on the stage. There's no seats there. It's all empty. It's two levels, and they're up on, like, pendulums. Oh, it's just amazing. And then you go into the side rooms. Like, there's a little stage part where you open up, and you go down into these little, like, dressing rooms and stuff like that, and there's people that put their names back there. You can see them, and they're dated back to the 20s and 30s. It's incredible.
Now, as someone who's worked on restoring a heritage building, what were your thoughts walking through that theater? Were you thinking, this is restorable, or were you thinking, this might be a tough challenge?
That would be a tough challenge for someone like me. I was speaking to some people in Ontario about it, and they owned a few venues in Ontario, and that was kind of one reason I just said, hey, look at this, it's for sale, and here's the price. And he went, wow, and they looked at the pictures, and I would have went in on the deal as much as I could, but it was just looked like too much work for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it's very stable. It's very stable the way it is, and you know that's the if you could get, I don't know what you could do with that space.
Right. So it's a question being able to have the deep pockets needed to do the restoration and then be able to make the building sort of recoup that that investment.
That's right. Yeah, but it's a good investment the way it is. Like there's businesses downstairs and there's 8 rental units at the end. People live in there. It used to be an old boys club there, and all the stores on the main floor.
Yeah. So yeah, the building itself is quite alive in some respects, and then there's parts
For
of it
sure.
that are empty.
Yeah.
Currently, there's no protections or supports for heritage buildings in Sackville. I'm interested to get your opinion. Do you think heritage structures should be publicly supported, you know, by communities?
Publicly supported, or you know what? I don't care where the money comes from. I don't care who owns them. I just want to see them active in the community, as opposed to somebody buying them and taking them off the market type thing. But having them active and open, or putting that significant investment in, and somehow it still incorporates into the community. For instance, the railway station in Sackville. I've taken 1,000 photos of that place. Oh my gosh. They sold the one in Amherst for, I think, like $65,000. And I said, I'll take it. I'll take the one in Sackville. Boy, I'll put a flea market in there, or a farmer's market, or, you know, there's all kinds of community groups that could use it. Open it up. Airbnb. I love that idea. Stay in a railway station. Oh my gosh. The only one in Canada, maybe. Yeah, think outside the box, but get it used. But like, don't let it sit there. The longer it sits there, the more people are going to say, that's an eyesore, get rid of it and go.
Now, did you actually take steps to inquire about the Sackville train station?
I did, and I, to a certain extent, I did. Like, I asked who owns it. I got two or three questions. A few people said, no, we got plans for it down the road. You know what? Do something about it. Do something. It took a crazy guy from Ontario, me, to buy this damn jail, and I've done pretty good here. I've been able to keep the lights on, and we've had guests from across Canada, around the world. We've had people from Japan here. It's people like interesting stuff, and that's my deal anyway, is somehow utilize it and get it. Just get people there. People will come. Build it. But you can't let it sit empty and do nothing. You know, get somebody that's, you know, like, get it used, that railway station right there. When I heard that in Amherst, I think a pizza shop ended up buying the train station.
That's right. There's a restaurant open there now. Yeah.
Yeah. They got a real sweet deal on it because they were going to do something right away. And they did. Mm-hmm. Good for them. And I said, you know what? For that kind of a deal, geez, I'll learn how to start cooking pizza right away. We'll put one in over here. That's a no-brainer. You got to get people excited about getting these buildings used and utilized.
Are there other buildings you've had your eye on around, you know, the Tantramar region?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of pickings, I guess.
I'm working very hard on one right now that I'm just bursting at the seams, but I can't say anything. But I'm super excited. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. And no hints. You can't give us a hint. Is it in Sackville or Dorchester or elsewhere?
Never, it's in New Brunswick.
It's in New Brunswick somewhere. There we go.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, it's something I'm super excited about. And there was a place in, I'll give you another example. There was a place in Dorchester here. The Landry House, super historical, Sir Pierre Saint-Amand Landry. He was a very famous judge, Acadian judge. He owned that building. It's a 5-unit rental, and it was for sale. I put pictures on the internet, and I said, are you guys kidding? Nobody's buying this historical place and stuff like that. And my friend from Ontario said, hey, if I buy it, will you manage it? And I said, yeah, for sure. He bought it sight unseen. And I manage it, and we're so excited about it. It's a great historical building, and we've been doing improvements to it. We just had a bunch of work more done to it, and proud to have it. Yeah, we've got to get excited people here, and do something. You know, that's why the Chandler House. You know, I talked to the owner there, and he's got some great plans for that place. Oh my gosh, it's like, yeah. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He came the same reason I did, is to look at this cool building and wow, my gosh, what a deal. And let's get going. And that's exactly what that guy did. And I said, hey, congratulations, welcome. I said, you're going to love it here. After I moved here, a friend of mine, he was in Toronto, and I said, he retired. He came out to the jail for a couple months just to hang out.
And he moved back to Toronto and sold his house, and he lives down the road now. He sold his house for almost $1 million, and he bought a bigger house on a couple acres for $23,000.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, when did you move from Ontario, Bill?
2017. Yeah, I moved here after my son passed away. I was working in the city of Toronto, and I was looking at this place for retirement and thinking about it. And when my son passed away, I said, you know what, I quit my job and sold my house and moved here by myself and bought the jail. Yeah. And moved in June 1st of 2017.
And no regrets so far?
Oh, my gosh. I'm more excited now than I ever have been. I love it here. I love it. Yeah,
that's great.
And I've had a lot of my friends look at my Facebook post. There's so many unbelievable stories. One of my clients that came for a bed and breakfast here, they ended up buying the house two doors down from the jail just because it was such a great deal.
Right.
It's incredible. And he said, "Hi, neighbor." And I go, "Oh my God, they already moved in." And I said, "I remember you guys." He said, "Yeah, we love Dorchester so much. When we seen this come up, it was a deal." And they moved from out of province as well. It's the buildings and it's the surroundings that are attracting people. You know, that's what I like. You know, a church came up recently here, and I don't know who purchased it, but it was a reasonable price, a unique home, and I didn't want a regular home. I don't think I could live in a regular home again. I'd need something as great as this jail. It's incredible.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time with us and sharing your enthusiasm.
Yeah, for sure. No, I appreciate talking about this. I get excited. That's why I don't do the tours too much, because I talk so much about hey. But people who are really interested, they have a passion for the big old buildings, and you know, I keep looking at them and seeing them, some decayed, some restored, some, they're all over the place. And, you know, I seen this in Ontario, we lost a lot of the properties and wish we had them back. When I come here and I see the same type of properties, I said, whoa, you got to keep this stuff. This is important because it doesn't come back. So.
Right. Yeah. And we know we did just lose one to fire here in Sackville recently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I took pictures of that too, and I said, oh my gosh, this goes way back, you know, 1880 or whatever it was. And I asked if they kept the blocks from the front of it and the stonework, and yeah, because you know, what's it worth? I don't know, but it's heritage, it's history, right? It's mm-hmm. You know, it could be repurposed, reutilized, whatever. Yeah, that's important.
All right. Well, again, we appreciate your time. So, and we'll look forward to hearing about your newest project once you can talk about it.
Absolutely, for sure.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Bye bye. That was Dorchester's Bill Steele. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, January 19th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.